Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
I just got some energy. Raising Cane's is next door. Someone Did had you? Some chicken fingers, and it just really juiced me up. So here we are. Oh, welcome man. To this edition Luckily. Of Road Trippin'. Allie Clifton, WTF Google Chrome, Richard Jefferson, a.k.a. Channing Frye. Don't forget all your Road Trippin' swag at homage.com/roadtrippin'. Did you guys see our friend? It's always going to have bubbles on your screen, Rich, because you're in a automatic thumbs up the entire time right now.
I don't
That's
know.
What's going on. Our friend Kendrick Perkins rocking the sweatshirt on his announcement. Did you see that?
What announcement?
He stood on Perk.
What was his announcement?
The Pat McAfee show.
Oh, that's the first of all.
Have you been living under a rock?
Shout out yes. Homage. Shout out Homage, you know, for making a quadruple X for Perk, man. We appreciate it.
Oh my God.
Don't do Perk like that. I was giving a compliment. All your compliments to him are backhanded.
Charging. Oh, yes. Always. Every single one. If I could backhand him, I would. So I just do.
Big Perky Lurk, you're always my favorite.
Oh, good old big, good old
All right,
big
before perk. We dive in, excuse me, to all the NBA chatter. How are you feeling this morning, guys?
You know, I feel like Channing's got some emotion he needs to get off of his chest.
Yeah, but it's unrealistic, right? I think my emotion comes from a place of like high expectations. The college game has changed. You know, I felt like this year, honestly, we didn't have a signature win.
That's not true. Like, that's not true.
Our signature win was the first game of the year versus a bad team.
Who?
Like, who's the team we beat that ended up not being good? Oh, Duke. We beat Duke.
Duke is good. They're still in the tournament. First of all, if you beat Duke at Cameron Indoor.
That's not coach. It's not the same, Richard. It's not the same. It is good. It's not a signature win to me, right? Uh-huh. Like, there were some big signature wins where I thought we could have had that would have shown growth. I just felt like we were who we were at the beginning as who we were at the end, and we were pretty inconsistent. And then I just felt like we just started jacking up threes, and it just got us away from what we were wanting to do. So it happens, and I could be a judge of whatever, and you know, I'll probably get a call from Murph and Jay Gardner about, well, we weren't trying to do that, but I'm just like, you know, I watched, and it was just like, man, this is, you know, it was disappointing. I thought they would go farther, but.
Well, look,
it is what it is.
Chan, you're not really centered up on the camera. We're only getting half your face.
Because he's really not happy. He doesn't want to fully embrace and dive into the emotions of
how. No. Like, watching, this is the thing that I'll give them credit, right? Because you can't coach effort, and they played hard, out rebounding them. They were picking up on defense. They couldn't make a shot. They were throwing it to Balo inside. And Balo missed, I don't know what he was from the free throw line, but at one point in time, he missed like six straight. So it's like, you're going to throw it in there and either you're going to get a dunk layup or you're going to get zero, right? Because if he gets fouled, he wasn't making free throws. And so it was like, but you got to hit a three. I don't care who you are. If your best player goes 0-for-9, if Steph goes 0-for-9 from three, the Warriors' chances of winning the game are very slim, right? If your best player does that. And look, Caleb Love is a very good player. He's been consistent all year. He had a bad game on the wrong night to have a bad game, and they weren't able to get a rhythm. But when you look up and you're shooting 36, 37% from the field, you are 16, 15% from three, and you're down by four, right? Like, and you're down by four. That's how hard they were playing. I think for me, the hardest part is that it's just, I don't think our performance in the tournament is indicative of who we are as a basketball program. And that's the part.
Yes.
And that's the part. And that's the part that's disappointing, because we can go back to the, we haven't been to the Final Four in damn near 25 fucking years. No, that's a joke, right? Yeah. Like, when you consistently are Pac-10, Pac-12 champions, you're consistently a one seed, you're consistently a two seed. Even last night, North Carolina loses. So you had an opportunity to go against Clemson, then Alabama, in Los Angeles, California. In Los Angeles, California. Yes, in Los Angeles, California, on your way to Phoenix, Arizona. On your way to Phoenix, Arizona for the Final Four. Those were the games that you got. You got home games in L.A. And that's the part that it was just like, even when it's tailor-made, even when you have a veteran team, even when all of these things go this way, we just fall short. Now, I don't think it was like we played a little bit frantic in that first, like, probably 5 to 7 minutes we settled in, but our three-point shot never came back. We could not hit a three to save our life. I think we were one or two for 13 or 14 at one point in time. So the boys played hard. The kids played hard. I will always respect effort. They just couldn't make a shot. That's what I'm saying. So
here's a question, because there was this, I was actually out at a bar watching this last night, and a couple of gentlemen, they were older guys, came in and they were screaming. Obviously they had bet on the game. They were screaming at your coach. They were, I mean, saying the most absurd things. And y'all's coach is the winningest coach as a head coach in his 2 years, correct? I believe that's so my point here is, and this guy was getting into it with someone else, and he was basically saying that even though he's the winningest coach for the regular season, he hasn't done shit in the postseason. So when was the last time you guys made it to the Final Four?
My year.
2001.
When I was a junior.
Okay. So the regular season and winning in the regular season still holds no, like, that doesn't matter. You actually agree? You guys, it's all about the Final Four. It's all about.
Well, here's what I'll say this. The college is changing. We don't want to be the Utah Jazz of college sports, where we're number one or number two and everything. And then as soon as the playoffs come, we get drubbed out, right? Like, we don't want to be that. For me, if we were just to choose what we're going to be, are we going to be great at college basketball, where we are going to either get transfers and get older guys who may not be the best in the league but are going to be great in college, or are we going to put NBA players in the league, right? If we were Calipari, right, and we have these young players who are coming in every year and they're draft pick after draft pick after draft pick, I'd understand. I would understand, like, losing to some of these teams that are 24, 25, 26. But when we have a team of 24 to 22-year-olds, not a lot of young guys playing, and we're not putting NBA players, we're not putting lottery picks out, and we're not doing well in the tournament, to me, I would like to understand what we are. We used to be both. We used to be both, where we would be solid in the tournament, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four, whatever that is, and then also put NBA players out. We're doing neither right now. And I'm like, what are we?
Well, and it's like in those 20 plus years, we have an Elite Eight loss to Kansas. We have an Elite Eight loss to Illinois. We have two Elite Eight losses to Wisconsin. There, you know, last night we lose in the Sweet 16. So we have an Elite Eight loss to UConn when they won the championship. Jamal Horn knocks out. So I guess the frustration is, since that 2001 team that went to the Final Four, we have like six Elite Eights. Right. So it's not like we've just been, but like, you don't go to Arizona for the Elite Eight there. Well, that's not why you go there. And at some point in time, it's like, I respect the conference and winning conference titles. And I respect that because I truly believe that that's part of the process. You have to dominate and you have to build and then you have to get ready. But all of that work is to get ready for that do or die moment in the tournament. And so while you can go to Arizona and you can win a Pac-12, like no one gives a shit. No one gives a shit if you win the Pac-12. Because we've all done it. We like if you break it down from the time the Pac-10 started up until the Pac-12 ended, right? From when Arizona joined. I think we won more Pac-10 titles than any other school. It was.
I think everyone won twice. If you were there 4 years, everyone won twice.
Yeah, so winning the conference doesn't do anything. But you don't go to you don't go to Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. You don't go to these schools to win the conference. You go to this school to get to the Final Four. You go to those schools to try and win a championship. And we fell short. So Sean Miller had before he was fired, he was the winningest coach over his era in the pack. So it was like he was the winningest coach. So we've won and had success. This year stung a little bit because I felt like it was tailor-made, but there's been years where we lost in Anaheim, right? Yeah. Anaheim. That is like multiple years we lost in Anaheim with opportunities to go to the Final Four. Those are home games for us. And so that's the part where it's just like it's tough getting over it.
It's tough, but you know what? You know what we're going to do? I'm going to be there next year.
Oh. Yeah, and look, next year. I still fucking blame Channing. I still blame Channing. Say whatever we want. He knows. He knows. Because he was the first. Channing was the first team to go 4 years at Arizona and not go to the Final Four in the Lute Olson era. The first
one.
There's
only so much a guy can do, Richard.
Well, all I'm saying is that they went to the final.
That's why he takes Victor Wembanyama as defensive player of the year.
They went to the Final Four in 98. They went to the Final Four in 88, and then they went in 94. Then they went in 98. Then they went in 2001, and then it just stopped.
It all makes sense.
So, like, look, this is one thing I will say too about the winningest coach. Look, when you step into a race car. Right. When you step into a race car, sometimes all you have to do is put your foot on the gas pedal. Like he stepped into Arizona. Right. Now he's recruited great players. Very, very good recruiter. I'm not questioning that. But when you have that Arizona on your chest, when you have sold out arenas, when you have the backing of a community and then you have an alumni base of players and people that are involved, that like I'm sitting next to Terry Francona. I'm sitting next to Bob Baffert, who's right behind me. I'm sitting watching Kenny Lofton. Like it was like so many like Arizona people come out to support this team, and it sucks when they lose. Yeah, that's all. We're emotional. I still blame Channing. Channing fucking started a curse. The Channing.
We're
curse.
A football team now. Also, guys, there's only so much I could do. Okay, there's only four players ever to have 25, 12, and 5 in a game versus a top 2 seed. I mean, there's only so much. I can't bring the ball up the court, Richard. I don't even know how to dribble to this day. I don't know how to dribble.
Yeah. Aww, that's okay. Well,
but yes, did I miss a pass? Probably. But
yeah. Threes, okay. Don't. I look. I watched
pass,
the film.
One play don't make the play.
Who do you think hurts worse today? Because I have to be on air in 90 minutes leading a ship with both Robert Horry and James Worthy. Do you think James Worthy feels worse today or you guys?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, James Worthy.
No.
For sure.
Well, James Worthy, sure. Because he has to be next to Robert Horry. That's if I had to sit next to somebody from Clemson.
Yeah.
If I had to sit next to somebody from Clemson. Well, think and this that. Is what I'm saying. That so is true. Also this and just another little tidbit. It's always best to play that first game, right? If you told me that North Carolina saw that Arizona lost and they lost a bit of their edge, I would believe that.
Man.
Oh, right? Yeah. I can believe that too. Mm. Like, ooh, we could do this. We just got to beat this team. But, you know, college is so different, man. I'm just like, you know, I'm just a fan. I'll be back at Dirtbags next year for Red and Blue.
Dead. Dirtbags. Shout out Dirtbags. What a spot. Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything, and the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction. It's an emergency brake you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep Under Armour wherever you go. So do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, let's talk about the NBA. Guys, 9-10 games left.
Where do we start?
Where would you like to start? We could talk about Richard's Rockets that might be in the playoffs.
God, we knew it. We knew it.
10 straight, 12 of their last 13. Can I give you something, though, really quick?
Wait. Go ahead, Al.
Really quick. They have an opportunity to be in the play-in, all right? They won just 22 games last year. They were the second worst team in the league. They were the worst team in 21 and 22. And here they are. Is this the Ime effect? What else is going on? What are you seeing?
Ime?
Give me my flowers. Give me my flowers. Give me my flowers. Give me my flowers.
Nobody saw this except for you. And no, even you didn't see this. When Sengun went out, everyone was like, damn, that's a great year they've had. But nobody saw them winning 10 out of 12 and Jalen Green just magically going apeshit on the whole league. Like, how do you snap and get maturity and growth and all this stuff? I don't know
what happened.
He's
about to be a father. He's about to be a father.
Okay. Fathers, yes.
He's about to be a father.
About to be a father's?
Richard, take your flowers. Take your flowers, your roses, your tulips, your daisies, whatever the hell you want. You're right.
This is what I'm going to say. You bring in Ime, championship quality coach. Young. He had a young team. He's doing it. You bring in Van Vliet, championship point guard. Then you bring in Dylan Brooks. He is a versatile defender, 1-3, 4, whatever you need. He's a shit starter. He's a agitator.
Yeah, disruptor.
So when you look at it, you improved. You got one of the best coaches in the NBA. You got one of the more steady point guards in the league. And then you add a high-level all-defensive player. You add those. Like, look at what Minnesota did when they added Conley. And they added Rudy Gobert. Their team
in slow-mo.
But I'm saying just adding two people to the talent around, Sengun has been amazing. You know, obviously the young guys and
Jabari Smith has been solid.
Jabari Smith. So they're all solid. So what you did is you brought in some people that were like, no, every single day we work, every single day we get better, and this is a grind. And sometimes when you're playing young players, you're like, just go play. Right? We're going to get you that experience. You're not breaking down film. You're not holding high level of accountability. You can turn the ball over 3 times in a row and they're still going to play you. Now these kids have more accountability. So that's what I said. I said this with those additions. I didn't say that. I said that I believe that they would be a play-in team and everyone, oh, no, I'm like, yo, we're going to like a play-in team. They got to win 9 more games. That's all they got to do from what they did the year before. If Van Vliet, Ime, and Dylan Brooks are not, and oh, we're forgetting about adding Jeff Green, right? We're adding veterans around that. So we're forgetting about adding that stuff. So when you look at all of that, then you basically like, those guys are worth 9 games. Those guys will get you 9 games. That was
Richard,
my thing.
Who
But here's, let's say this. The Western Conference is a monster, and they've had to win 10 out of 12 to even catch up. I don't give a shit
what they've had to do. They did it.
I do.
Let me ask you this question. In a one-game situation, because right now, I mean, to be honest with you, with 10 games, 9 games to go, whatever it is, the Lakers are a game and a half out of 8, though they don't have that tiebreaker with the Kings. They're 2 games out of 7 with the Suns, which they do have that tiebreaker. Obviously, the Suns and the Kings have the hardest remaining schedules here down the stretch. If the Rockets, in a one-game scenario, if the Rockets get into that 10, do you guys see them getting into the 10 spot with what's going on with the Warriors? If so, which is a tougher matchup for the Lakers?
Oh, damn.
It's two different matchups. One, the Lakers are 9. There's the veterans, and
yes,
like these guys know how to put together a game plan. They know how to do that. Houston, you don't know what the fuck you're gonna give these bad boys. These bad boys might come out and just ball and hoop. Like, I think
to that whole you don't know better, so you just like there is something to that in a one game situation.
Yeah, I think the scarier matchup would be Houston. Right. I think the scarier matchup would be Houston in a one game situation. I think the Warriors are the ones that you're just like, you know, Steph can get going and you try and figure it out. But the way Jalen Green is playing right now, he might have a Steph Curry night. And
you know, they're
just
saying
like,
Sanguine is coming back. Sanguine. He might be back by then.
When is he coming back?
That's what they said. Like they're ramping
up. Yeah,
that
he could be
like
back.
He could be back, which would be a bigger problem.
He's like a young Jokic. He's good.
Super. He is very good. You
very,
know what?
Very good.
He is an example because, you know, we hear like what he says at NBA TV of like what he thought about Ime. He goes, I love that Ime cusses me out. He cusses that guy out. He goes, I need that. Like, I needed that structure to like be held accountable, to not turn the ball over, to be aggressive all game. Like, these young guys needed that. I think a lot of them fought it, like Boston fought it. And then they bought in at the end of like, oh shit, like we're competing. And then you notice they are not that they're saying they're scrappy. I think the word is they are chemistry wise far and away better than what they were last year and what a lot of teams are. So like all these little scraps that Dylan Brooks is getting into, that, you know, Jalen Green is getting into, that these guys are getting into, you're noticing they're not being punked anymore. And teams think, oh, I could just punk them and that's how we'll win the game. And Dylan Brooks is there like, no, no, no. We're going to keep this to basketball or else it's going to get dirty for all y'all.
Van Fleet, and Jeff Green. Like, Jeff Green's a champion. Van Fleet's a champion. Dylan Brooks, since he came into the league, like in Memphis, before it went sideways, they were one of the teams that people were picking them to be conference finalists, to possibly go and get to the NBA final. That's where he was going. So I think when you add winners, and this is where we always talk about it, winning is fucking hard. You want people on your team that know how hard it is to win. Right, that know how hard it is to win. Same with Denver. Denver right now is playing at such a calm pace. It's been slow and steady for them because they have the confidence of being a champion. And sometimes that comes from as a team, and that can come from individuals. And I think the individuals, whether it was Ime, whether it's Dylan Brooks, whether it's Jeff Green, you know, Van Vliet, all of these guys have contributed to the culture, and their culture has changed. That's If someone were to tell you next year that Houston would be the 6th seed, you would be like, I could see it.
Oh, easily.
What was y'all's take of Draymond's week? The thing that happened with Patty Mills, that incident, obviously against the Magic, you saw the frustration from Steph. And oftentimes, obviously, when we hear about all of this with Draymond, if the history of his career plays into decision-making in moments like this, should he have been suspended?
The Patty Mills thing was very close. Mm-hmm. I don't think the double technical is just like, you're jarring, but like, you're fucking that mad. You're that mad 4 minutes into a game. You're that mad. You're like that to me is, again, we've always said, like, not always, but we've said there's something different. It's not, this isn't competitiveness. This isn't basketball. It's like, you are not entitled, in my opinion, to oh, that's a foul. And I'm just going to argue for 10 minutes that that was a foul. Like, I don't care if you've won 4 championships. I don't care if you're a defensive player of the year. I don't care about that. There are 10 grown men on that court. You are not the one person that gets to do that. Right? And it's like, yo, it's okay to have a moment. It's okay to have a moment. We all have moments. But when you consistently have moments, and you see that from Steph. Steph is never going to come out and be like, you know what? I'm getting fucking sick of his shit. I'm sick of his shit. I don't care if he, honestly, I'd rather, because we're losing now. I'd rather lose and be at peace with people that I can count on than to like go into battle with someone that I just don't know if his gun is going to fire, if he remembered to bring his gun, if he's going to just start shooting everybody in our own locker room. That's not who you want to go to war with.
I think Steph and that team need consistency. Now, consistent aggressiveness is awesome. Consistent chaos or consistent chaos is not what that team needs down the stretch, understanding what is at stake here, right? Like, I think Steph understands, and people make good points, right? I think Tim Legler, somebody said, it was like, think about what the team has to think about if they don't make the playoffs this year. They have to make hard decisions, and Steph is like, all we have to do is show promise and they'll keep this team together, right? Steph don't want to leave. They don't want to get rid of Steph, but Steph don't want to be on a team without Clay, without Draymond, with a bunch of young guys at the end of his career where he's fighting just to win 40 games.
Channing, and do you think that Steph is done competing for a championship? Like, will be in without a position? A like, obviously every time
he on this team, out. On Golden State, without a doubt. No. There's no way. I'm going to say this right now. There is no way with how good Denver is, with how good Minnesota. And we're not even considering next year Memphis, Dallas, right? Houston's going to be better. Phoenix is solid, right? And Sacramento is solid. Like, they have such, you know, when you go into the playoffs, if you want to win a chip, you got to have a couple what-ifs. And those what-ifs might be like, can the coach make a play down the run? Or is this guy going to step up? Or, like, who's our seventh or eighth guy that's going to play big minutes? Golden State has about 10 what-ifs. And 5 of them are with their big three. Klay's been inconsistent all year, right, figuring out his role. It's understandable. It's not a judgment on him. It's a fact. Draymond has been extremely inconsistent. Steph looks exhausted and emotionally exhausted. Does Kuminga, the way he plays and when he plays well, does that equal winning in playoffs? Where's Wiggins, right? And those young guys, you're just like, man, like, can we get anything from them that equates to winning in big moments? That's a lot of what ifs.
No, I was going to say, they're fighting for the 10th seed. They're fighting for the 10th seed. What the fuck are we talking about? The 10th seed. They're fighting for the 10th. What the fuck are we talking about? They're fighting for the 10th seed. I'm done. We've had enough conversation. I'm not going to spend more time talking about a team that's fighting for the 10th seed. They don't deserve it.
So having
they
said
deserved
that,
all the attention.
I heard you. We're moving on. All right. It's time for you to give me your top players from last week. They're your Under Armour game changers of the week. Which players or coaches impressed you the most?
I'm going first to DeJounte Murray.
Oh, you fucker.
DeJounte Murray.
44 points on 44 shots.
Shot that mug.
Congrats.
It was crazy
if it takes
50,
if it takes 100 shots, as long as you get the win, that's all that matters.
Yeah, true.
Get the win. If you got to shoot 102 shots and win, there's no complaints here.
No.
No complaints.
I will say this. The New Orleans Pelicans defense, they are suffocating teams. It is crazy to watch them play a team like the Bucks, who are very, very good. And literally shut down Damian Lillard the first half and then shut down Giannis in the fourth quarter, where he doesn't take a shot in the fourth quarter, is crazy. And then for them, they are healthy. You know, Zion's active. They got Trey Murphy. They have, you know, all these guys that are so good at defense, and they're bought in, and it's fun to watch. And they are going to be scary in the playoffs.
How about the Bucks? What is it? What's the record?
Hang on.
Doc? 13
Road Trippin's Game Changers. I'm coming there in 1 second. Road Trippin's Game Changers of the Week, sponsored by Under Armour. Ew. Do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curries are available now at currybrand.com. What a way to wrap up the Warriors conversation than a shout out to Steph Curry and his shoes. Continue, Rich, because I actually stole this record for you from the NBA Today that you just hosted. They're 14-3 with Doc.
Oh.
14 and 13.
Well, we say it's like, you know, everyone panicked, whether it was with James Harden or when Doc first took over. It's like, look, okay, I believe a true sample size is, you know, somewhere between 20 and 25 games, right? And look, a 500 record with 30 games, and I know they started off 2-7, and then they had a great stretch post All-Star break. They played really well post All-Star break. They've been struggling a little bit. All I know is that that to me is shocking. Now, again, they're going to get to the post.
Have you watched them play lately?
Yeah, I've watched. No, I'm not saying, but from their performance, I'm talking about their record. You can.
I know, but it's bad to watch them. Defensively, they are unenthusiastic. They are undisciplined. They, you know, it's not a sign of a good team when somebody drives to the hoop and then you're looking like, was that you or was that me? Like, put it this way, the Pelicans got to the rim at will. Zion was going at Giannis, and you don't really see that often, right? Where they're like, clear out. They said, clear out, Zion, go at Giannis, one-on-one, right? And the Pelicans struggle with offense at times, right? Especially with Brandon Ingram in the half court. They ran that little dribble weave and gave that ball to Zion at the top of the key, and he just said, it's me and you. You better get up out my way. Boop, boop, boop. Layup, 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 kick, layup, kick. Like, they just got – and obviously this is last night, but they have not shown a sense of urgency. They just think they could just turn this thing on, and they don't have that type of motor, or I have not seen it. Now, if it happens, it happens, and I'm wrong, and I've been wrong more than I've been right. But, dude, watching them these last few games, they just don't – they don't play like they believe that they can actually do it.
I got nothing to say, bro. That's well said. Well said.
You agree?
It's
all right. So from they're the 2 seed, right? 2 seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So from the 2 seed to the 1 seed, are you buying the thought about the Boston Celtics and the losses that they've had Celtics. And being the number
they're
one?
They're about to win 60 games. They're about to win 60 games. This is what I tell you. They're about to win 60 games. So the fact
Zach
that we panicked.
Zach Lowe is not hearing that. Zach Lowe is not hearing that.
I love that. Not care. Zach is my fucking favorite.
There is only one Achilles heel, and only two teams play that way. And one of them is playing crappy right now, and the other one is the Knicks, who are getting healthy. Those are the only two teams that are going to give them trouble. Why? When the Boston Celtics don't get up 53s, when they don't get up a lot of threes because they're breaking down the teams defensively, they struggle. Which is, if you watch those Atlanta games, Atlanta, even though they were down 30, didn't let Boston settle for threes, played great one-on-one defense, made them shoot those tough twos, and got out and ran. And that's the only thing that Boston doesn't do well. When they don't shoot threes well, they seem to struggle. Now, in the playoffs, when you're not going to get up 53s, you may get up 30. Can you win a game like that? I don't know how many games they've won without the three ball. Now, obviously, they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, but there are some bad matchups out there for them. I think they're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think they're going to struggle versus a team or two.
I think they make the finals, and I think they will have some games like this. You look at teams that have been dominant, right? Where it was like our Cavs team, some of the Warriors team, where you can wheel off 10 straight playoff games. I think that they win a lot of – I think they win, you know, 4-2, 4. They win a lot of series in 6 because you just don't have the – you can beat them a game. They've shown that they can be beaten and that they can have a bad fourth quarter. But I just – I personally currently right now don't see a team that could play consistent enough over 7 games to match their firepower. There's only like 2 or 3 teams in the league. So Denver being one of them, which means if they lose to Denver, they would be in the NBA Finals. I think the Clippers, when healthy and playing good basketball, is one of those teams. And I think everybody else you have to see. OKC, we got to see. Minnesota, we got to see. Milwaukee, we got to see. All of these teams, you got to kind of like, we got to see what they can do. I think Boston is just a team that is like, okay, they might lose a game because they shot 12 for 40 from 3 and whatever. They didn't finish great. But then the next night, they're going to go out there and fire them bitches and they're going to be 20 for 40. It's going to be a problem. Aaron's like, yeah, they just have too much firepower. And look, it's 32 minutes. I feel like we've talked enough.
No, I actually have one more question for you. Channing, you've been talking about the value of Mitchell Robinson all year. Who do you think is going to face Boston in the conference finals? What does Mitchell Robinson do to the Knicks? Is it enough? Could they be a team that makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Is Julius Randle playing?
Yes.
I think the Knicks can make the Eastern Conference Finals.
So he's the difference maker. If
I think Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle, they are. I think they're the most physical team in the NBA with those two guys out there. So you have OG, Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart. You got, you know, you have Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson. That's a physical, grind it, tough nose, put the Timbs on team. I think they can make it because a lot of teams aren't going to want to play like that or be used to playing like that. And offensively, they have two or three guys that you can go to that say, hey, we just need a grimy 20. Give me a grimy 20.
I like the Knicks. Josh Hart's playing his best basketball. I like all that.
He's cool. But
can we talk about how Arizona can we talk about how Arizona had a chance to play Clemson in Staples on a Saturday? That place would have been packed to the
brim. You mean Alabama?
Or Alabama. Alabama. They had a chance to play Alabama to go to the Final Four, basically at a home game on a Saturday night. Do you know how many drunk Arizona kids would have driven from Tucson out to L.A. to go to the
Don't even just make it.
We're gonna start how we ended.
Okay.
Being pissed off about our Wildcats.
And that's the one thing I love about the both of you. You wear your heart on your sleeve and you keep everything a bean. So before we wrap up this episode, we love our listeners. We love our viewers. You all know this. We love our Road Tripping fans. You've been with us since day one, of course. So we owe it to you to let you know that we are going to take a little pause. There are some changes coming on the end of Road Tripping. The three of us will still be here. We are not going anywhere, but we're just doing some things behind the scenes. So we're going to take a week or two, and then you will hear the big announcement that is coming your way. Having said that, we talk about it all the time, and I find it so interesting how there's so many podcasts out there nowadays, and everyone wants to be on a podcast, and everyone wants to have their own podcast. But the one thing I think people learn is that doing a podcast is not easy. It takes a village. It's very hard. And so I think with that said, there are a few individuals, Jeremiah, Frank, who have worked with us over the last couple of years to make Road Tripping every single week what it is. The hours, the time, the preparation, the skill. We truly can't thank you guys enough for everything you've done. And we aren't going anywhere, so we will be forever connected with you guys. So just know from the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate it. And you've been a big reason as to why Road Tripping continues. So we will be back in a couple of weeks to all of our listeners. Don't miss us too much. But until then, Rich and Channing need to clearly clear their minds and get emotional.
I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I quit.
Oh, thank God.
I quit.
That's another edition of Road Tripping.